Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music, news, culture, and stuff that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 95. Five more until the century ride.
Oh, fuck, I need to make a new song. Yeah. I've been putting off making
it. Also, we should have a new picture.
That's a lot of effort. No, I made that one good at episode 50, so we could like keep that one going for a while, because getting a photographer and good lighting, that was effort. I just happened to live with wonderful roommates.
Okay.
Roommate. This has been a really interesting week in music. It's going to be fun to talk about. The singles we have from Africa Express, so unfortunately Damon Albarn's doing things, or fortunately, Denzel Curry.
Wait, that's Damon Albarn?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then Alligator by Of Monsters and Men was a single that also came out. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of new Flying Lotus singles. We're holding. Oh. It's really hard because there's an Audio Face rule where we don't review all the singles that come out before an album.
When is this album coming out? Isn't it soon?
It's really soon. I want to say it's
like in 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So we'll get that soon. But he released a single with Anderson .Paak. It's we'll talk about it later. And we've got some albums to release. It was a little bit of a wild card week, but we have Mac DeMarco, Halos, and Holly Herndon. Because this is an interesting music podcast when we review unique things. Plus all the news y'all usually come from, so let's get right into it, shall we?
It shouldn't be that bad. So, Johannesburg by African Express. I didn't realize that's a Damon Albarn chingy, allegedly.
Yeah.
Is it his band, or what?
One of his nine different projects. I call it Damon Albarn Has Black Friends.
Yeah. I was gonna say this. What is he, Uncle Ruckus? I have 32 jobs, actually.
Right.
However many jobs he has.
No, yeah, but Africa Express is this big, like, super group project. It's a collaboration with a bunch of different African musicians here and there, and they released something in 2013.
This is Sibot Radio 123, Morena Leabra, and Gruff Rise. I've never heard of any of that.
Well, Gruff Rise was on Super Fast Jellyfish. He was.
Oh,
the
really?
Backing
vocalist. Oh, he was the.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the other two, I would assume are like, yeah, African artists that we don't know because of our
pretty. All I know is the single's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
I like it. Afro beats. Robot video game beats. No, not robot video game beats.
Is it really even Afro beat? I mean, like, it's Afro beat if you made it alternative.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's groovy.
Yeah, it's definitely very groovy.
Soul back.
Yeah, we had some comments about Damon Albarn making music, and basically our comments were, stop, please. But it could be the thing where it's like Kid Cudi or even Ye sometimes, where as long as you him work with a bunch of, yeah, probably not Ye, but as long as you have him work with a bunch of people and then pair him back a little bit and let other people shine on the album, basically as long as we don't get too much Damon Albarn, then this could be a cool project. And the full Africa Express project should be coming out in June or July, I believe.
Oh, really?
So it'll be cool to check out, I think so.
Okay. We'll definitely listen to that, because I am now intrigued. And then we have Denzel Curry, who, another interesting figure.
Yeah. Came back with Ricky, single off of what we can only assume is his upcoming project.
Yes.
And it's a pretty hard beat, but Denzel Curry's got extreme lyrical talent.
He does, yeah. It's not a bad track, actually. I thought I was going to hate it, but I like it because he did a lot of experimentation with the vocals, like messing with it in the single.
Yeah.
Like halfway through the song, he just like gets a switch and goes zoom.
Yeah,
goes crazy with it, which I enjoy.
And as...
Lyrically, it's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, lyrically, it has a lot of depth there, which, again, is lacking in rap music sometimes, but definitely not here, and I'm looking forward
and
to it.
And also, it's a normal album cover for a single, which is nice, because usually his album covers are pretty wild.
That is also very fair. But let's go to Of Monsters and Men. You brought this up, right?
Yes, because I love these guys. Another Icelandic band, but they are pretty popular in the States. Of Monsters and Men, they haven't released anything since 2015 from their last album. And they released a single, Alligator, which I guess they have an upcoming album. I knew it was in the works, but I haven't seen a release date or anything, but I'll look that up halfway through the podcast and let y'all know. Because we do this live.
We does this live.
It's an interesting sound from them because usually they're kind of up beat hipster acoustic alternative is the best way to explain them. But their lyrics are very good, and their soundscape and stuff, especially for their entire first album, My Head is an Animal, which if we had an audio face in 2012, that would probably be album of the year in 2012.
Damn.
But this is kind of a more rock heavy song from them. So it's interesting to see, okay, what's the evolution of their sound and what this album is going to be. Because I know their last album, they did kind of stuff of their first album and then a newer sound, but I'm wondering what they're going to do for this. So it's perked my ears a bit. Interesting to pick this as a single, but I'll see what the rest of their album is whenever that is out.
Yeah, singles are always choices for sure. And on audio face, always. It matters a lot because we listen to the first single and we're done. Mm-hmm. Also, June is going to be a very nice month because that's when we're expecting the Of Monsters and Men track. Album. First or second week of June.
Oh, shit, Joe Rogue.
Yeah, this is going to be good. So I usually do the albums we have to look forward to coming up in the end of the episode, but I'll do it in the beginning. So next week, there's a lot going on. We might even have one of those, we have 2 weeks worth of shit to work off of. But next week, Carly Rae Jepsen.
And you're not even going to be here, which is going to be great, which you got to figure that out.
Pause. Next week, there's Carly Rae Jepsen, the National Rammstein Interpol.
Why are we doing Carly Rae Jepsen?
I'm saying that these albums are coming out.
But we're not. I veto that, because that's not music.
We might be able... We might just do a fun little note chill out with that, because, a lot of people will be listening to it, and we can give our commentary and critique.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll give our critiques to it. We will set the record straight for the people, all right? But you've got Jepsen, the National, Rammstein, Interpol, and Tyler, the Creator.
National's going to go hard. Tyler,
the Creator. Indeed. Allegedly coming out with an album next week, and then 2 weeks after...
Racial slurs in there, or what?
2 weeks after that is Flying Lotus.
God, that's... I can't wait for that.
So, May is starting to kind of end, kind of on a high note. And then June, we've got Avicii.
Pache.
Silver Sun Pickups of Monsters and Men.
Silver Sun Pickups making an album?
Silver Sun Pickups. Don't sleep, boy. Hot Chip.
I just dropped the Bible. Hold on.
We've got Hot Chip, The Rockin' Tours, yep. Madonna, and the Black Keys at the very end of the month.
Oh, I forgot Black Keys were June. I thought they were August for some reason.
At the very end of the month.
June is... Oh, wow. Okay.
It's going to be great. And also, we're working on our Audio Face Song of the Summer playlist on Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's private right now, but we're going to have a bunch of the best music since the last time we did a Song of the Summer, kind of filling that playlist so you have some summer tunes while you're driving. So we're going to hook you up with that.
I didn't realize it. How did that not pop up on my thingy?
Don't sleep, boy.
Apparently, Silver Sun Pickups released singles too, which I'm like, WTF.
Let's do the rest of the episode and then you can listen to this.
I'm sorry. For those who are wondering, they're one of my favorite bands, actually. Like, they are kind of one of my low-key favorite bands.
I did not know this about you, even.
Oh, it goes hard with them.
All right, well, yo, June, dude.
June's
going to be a great time to do a music podcast.
Want
to start a music podcast, Sean?
Right.
Okay.
So, Staten Island, they were named an entire district in honor of Wu-Tang Clan, which I think is pretty freaking cool. He brought this up to me a few days ago, and I didn't hear about this at all, and this was pretty cool. Sesame Street may have gotten an intersection.
Yeah, Street has an intersection named in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wu-Tang Clan's going to have a whole district, bitch.
Yeah.
I get your street and I raise you a district.
Yeah,
next thing you know, we're going to have the Kanye West city.
Well, to be fair, over in Los Angeles, where we may or may not be based allegedly, Rodeo Road was changed to Obama Drive or Obama Boulevard.
I mean, it never goes as hard as switching Saigon to Ho Chi Minh City, but you know.
Anyways, Park Hill was renamed the Wu-Tang Clan District. There are signs, there's street art and everything. A couple of Wu-Tang members, I think Raekwon was there actually at the ceremony.
Oh,
and it was just a really cool thing because
that's they
were they're on the top of the street pole, kind of unsheathing the sign and showing it off to everyone.
Cool.
And people, at this point, that's where Wu-Tang Clan is from. All the people who grew up with Wu-Tang Clan now have kids. Some of them have grandkids.
Dude,
it's a family thing. Wu-Tang's for the children. That's out there.
Wu-Tang is definitely for the people.
All right.
First album.
Let's jump into a review. We have Be the Cowboy. Oh, whoops, sorry. We have Here Comes the Cowboy by Mac DeMarco.
Oops.
This is not to be confused with Mitski's album, and definitely not to be confused with the sound of Mitski's album, but we'll get into that.
Right.
13
songs long, 46 minutes, and the very happy face button as the album cover.
Very Mac DeMarco.
Hipsters.
It's very twangy, the album. It's got a Mac DeMarco sound for sure. It's the same Mac DeMarco sound we fell in love with Salad Days, all of his old shit.
Solid disco is hard. One thing I can critique off the bat is never go high pitched ever again, Mac DeMarco, ever, and stop screaming.
I mean, some of like Together off of this might have been Rock and Roll Nightclub or Salad Days, but there was a song called Together near the end that was like one of the most beautiful love songs ever made, where he does this like higher pitched croony voice thing. But perhaps maybe that was because it was 2012.
It doesn't right now. The last was the last two songs of the album, I think, had that, and I go, okay, please don't. It's the first two songs I did not like, really. Because it just felt very empty. And then after that, it got better. And then I started to enjoy it a bit more. I don't really like Mac DeMarco's sound much. I have to be in a mood for it, but some of the songs I can appreciate. But the first two songs, I go, oh no, this is going to be crap. But then it's turned out to be a little bit better. I did enjoy a few of the tracks where... I don't know if it's him playing the guitar or he has somebody else playing it, but it sounds like he's trying to do a little homage to George Harrison, because yeah. He does a little, it sounds like a little Beatles guitar in there, and I can fucks with that heavy.
Yeah, no. I think like that. Mac DeMarco does a lot of the guitar work, or much of the guitar work on his, like,
that's things, what I figured.
And that's his most distinctive quality.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to, I think some people may not love Mac DeMarco's, like, purposely kind of country folksy twang, I guess, that he has.
That's but okay.
If you only pay attention to the instrumentation of it,
it's great.
He's got like such a distinct sound where you can instantly tell something is Mac DeMarco.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. It does have those like inspirations from 60s and 70s kind of yacht rock, I guess, is what we would call it.
50s and 60s were the beginning of the guitars, where you have basically Telecasters with nothing else, just plug into an amp, no...
Yeah, not a lot of effects.
No synths, nothing into it. Yeah, and it's I love that. Which most of the album has that, like the song Choo Choo has that, and I actually like that song.
And I want to point out here, because Mac DeMarco, like I said, has this usual kind of guitar-based, homey, folksy kind of sound. But in Choo Choo and a couple other songs in the album, including a hidden track at the end of the album, Mac DeMarco kind of goes into funk.
Yeah.
Which, me being the official funk ambassador of the music
world. That's what I was literally about to say.
I very much like. But it also shows this is realm that Mac DeMarco hasn't gone before, and it's interesting to juxtapose funk with cowboy. I think that was deliberate in a way, and I like the way he's pushing that.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a change, and I do enjoy it. It started off on the wrong foot, which basically if you just get rid of those airy tracks, then it's a pretty damn good album to me. Just those first two did not do my ears well. And then the rest of the album I did like. I liked it was a bit more experimentation than he usually does in a way, at least from what I'm familiar with in his work. And then the last two tracks, or whenever he started screaming, I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right, you can stop.
Let's tap the brakes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I felt like, other than the funk thing, this felt very similar to a traditional Mac DeMarco album with a similar amount of experimentation and a similar amount of, which is to say it's very good. And I actually say this is probably... Mac DeMarco's been on a tear of releasing an album just about every year. And they've had I haven't loved the more recent ones. Like, I think after two, I started going, okay, Mac DeMarco, you're iterating.
Yeah, I liked another one. Was pretty good.
So there's Rock and Roll Nightclub 2 and Salad Days. Those ones I went into super hard.
Salad Days goes hard.
Then he released another one in This Old Dog, which I knew were kind of things that had come out, but...
This Old Dog we reviewed, actually, and it was whatever.
Yeah. Here Comes the Cowboy is definitely better than that. I would 100%. Say this is, to me, this is my favorite Mac DeMarco album since Salad Days. So yeah, since like 2014, 2015 or so. Yeah.
It was 14 because it was,
I remember being in high school for that, so yeah.
Exactly.
The Arbitrary Scale is Uber stock. Because Uber, of course, the... Highly profiled. Oh, this is going to be the best. High profiled European vehicle. They're using a lot of high profiled European vehicles and not paying their employees to use them. Anyways, Uber had their IPO recently, and it was going to be a big deal for the financial sector because oh, Uber is going to be like Google. It's going to be the next Apple or Amazon. It's going to make so much money.
No.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call. What, sword down?
Damn, I should have bought shorts on Uber.
Yeah, check out this chart.
Dude, why didn't I fucking buy puts on Uber? I should.
They're like, oh yeah, this is probably...
Shit.
Yeah, we're probably going to open Uber at about $60, $70 a share. It's going to be nice.
My
opens
ass.
Opens at 41.
My ass at $60 a share.
Yeah, so let's pretend this is Uber stock. $60 a share means it's good. $20 a share means it's not. Where would we put Salad Days? I would open Salad Days at $49 a share.
You do 49?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to do like 40, 45. Mm. Like a solid.
Yeah, I like it.
Like, it's not going to tank. It's good. Like, you know, it's like a bond. You buy your asshole kid in the 70s a bond because you know it's not going to do anything. But, you know, in a little while, you just got some money saved up randomly. You can just give it to him.
And all of a sudden, you look good because, yeah, I've been saving all this money. I've been looking out for you, kid. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
One of my friends has a story about a stepmom situation, and the stepdad was loaded wealthy, and so left their three kids with certain funds, but gave them money based on how much he liked them. So with the kid that he liked the least, he gave him $20,000. The middle child, $80,000. The favorite child, $350,000.
Jesus Christ.
$20,000 is a fucking insult at that point.
Oh, it is. Definitely an insult at that point.
Speaking of Sean's favorite music...
Should be Sir Thomas York. He's gonna have another solo album.
Yes.
Which
likely coming out this year, by the way.
Oh,
this year or early next year.
So. And he like previewed apparently a dystopian solo album, which all of his fucking albums are dystopian.
Everything's dystopian. We live in a society.
Exactly. And he's credits Flying Lotus for changing the way he thinks about recording music.
Which is
I like Tomorrow's Modern Boxes a lot because it was experimental and weird. There's a couple songs like The Mother Lode, I blast it this day and it goes crazy. If he does anything like that again, but makes it Tom York, which is, I swear to God, he can't make a bad track. Even if he tried, we're gonna have a good year. So I am very much looking forward to this.
Looking forward to this.
He cited Flying Lotus. He's explained that his like semi-improvised live shows changed the way he thinks about making music, which makes sense because you can see when if you've gone to a Tom York or
Flylo, or at the very least, like even Reggie Watts,
if you've seen them live or just watched the live shows on YouTube, the way they do live shows is half of it's just improvised and done stuff. Because when Tom goes on tour, he takes Nigel Godrich and they basically improvise some of his tracks with Atoms for Peace, some of his tracks with Radiohead, some of his own solo works and unreleased material. And he does them on the fly and does different experimentation in the song and make it sound different every time he plays it, which I think is fantastic. So you're always getting a new version of the song, basically. So,
And to be clear, that's the part of it that he's saying that, yeah, Flying Lotus helped me to think of music in this kind of way. Because before I was kind of shy to it and not wanting to make a bunch of changes or adjust too much. But Flying Lotus kind of helped Tom York break him out of his comfort zone, to paraphrase.
Yeah, he said, I will give you some quotes. He said, we suddenly realized this is a new way to write stuff. I would send Nigel Godrich completely unfinished sprawling tracks, and he would focus in on the bits and pieces that he thought would work, build them up into samples and loops, and then throw them back at me, or he'd start writing vocals. At the beginning, it was terrifying. I was hiding behind the decks, pretending to sort of DJ, but it's not like that because I'm also singing, occasionally playing guitar. There was a bit of a Eureka moment at one show we did in Paris where there was a stage in front of me. I thought, oh, fuck this. I just ended up using the stage to dance. Which, if you know that show he did in Paris in 2012, you know exactly what it was because he improvised heavy on that and it was pretty cool. So, yeah, I like that a lot and I'm excited to see what he makes.
Same. It's going to be very interesting. I'm very much looking forward to it. Obviously, being a podcast called Audio Face,
yes,
we're going to be into what Tom York is doing.
So Woodstock.
Woodstock is the Fyre Fest of 2019.
The Woodstock 50 organizers reportedly sue investors for sabotage and theft.
So as Young Chung 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 reports, TMZ, the festival organizers claimed that the Dentsu Aegis Network, which is the principal investor of Woodstock 50, illegally removed almost $18 million from Woodstock's accounts and sabotaged the event. The organizers claimed that Dentsu reached out to scheduled performers and told them that the festival was canceled, while suggesting that the artists could be selected to perform at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, also sponsored by Dentsu. So that's a little shady for sure. There was also like an ultimatum thing happening this week where basically it looked like Woodstock could have been saved so long as one of the companies behind it raised all the capital they needed to by Friday. That basically didn't happen. And so Woodstock appears to be off. Although the official Woodstock 50 insisted that the festival is still on and that they deny that the festival is being canceled. It's likely being canceled though.
Good job, investors. Always got some corporate asshole ruining it.
I wonder which failed version part of Disney is going to make a documentary about this.
Oh, you know, it's going to be Leaving Neverland.
Oh, God. Okay. Now it's time for Wild Card.
This is interesting.
This is an album and an artist that we hadn't heard before this week. We picked randomly. We went in to listen to it. This is Halos, spelled with the A-E that's like together. I don't know what that letter is called.
I don't know what language it is, but they're from fucking England, so thanks, assholes. At least you have a wild name, at least be from the area.
They're Halos. They're an electronic trio, quad group of people, an electronic group. Mm-hmm. But definitely not EDM.
This is not EDM. This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is very... Well, experimental, naturally, but it's like dark... Very like the vocals are very airy, but I'm trying to think of the words.
I would describe this as a cross somewhere in between Disclosure and Foals with like a distant love child of Deadmau5.
But not upbeat at all in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But more thought out, and it's very good.
Yeah, 11 songs long, 57 minutes. Album title is called Any Random Kindness. This is their second
sleeper pick was fucking great. I'm gonna listen to this the whole goddamn year.
I'm listening the hell out of this.
Like, this is...
this is incredible.
An unbelievable sleeper pick. Holy crap.
Can I go ahead and guess which song I can guess which song is maybe one of your favorites.
Go.
Kyoto. The fourth track.
It definitely is, but it's not my favorite off the album. My favorite off the album, Deep State.
Deep State.
Fucking hard, and it's on my short list of tracks.
Best electronic
of the year.
Shit for the year.
It's just best songs of the year in general.
Oh, shit.
Because this year I haven't had like a breakout track. Really. I mean, I've had actually a few, but not like one I'm going to be on repeat over and 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 over again.
Yeah.
Because I'm waiting. Because we're going to have the Manchester Boys, my favorites, 1975. We're going to have Service and Pickups.
Yeah.
Flying Lotus. We have so many other things this year. We have Holy fuck, we also have Tommy York.
I almost dropped the Bible.
Oh my God. What's 2019 to 2016? What is this? Why is it every like 3 or 4 years, it's just a year of stop what you're doing and just listen to 18 hours of music?
Because the good musicians know to wait every 2 or 3 years. Exactly. No way to wait music. They're not also, Disclosure, I haven't heard from them in a while. I think they're working on something. It might be 2020.
They did stuff at the end of last year.
Yeah, yeah, they did. But they said, hey, we're working on some stuff. But, so while we're working on some stuff, here's some shit.
I know.
But that was almost a year ago now. So, you know.
They might do some stuff,
there's a whole lot of fall releases that we don't know about.
They have that Khaled track, which goes heavy, too.
That was the only Khaled track that went heavy. I think that was Khaled's song, to be fair.
It was Khaled's song, but Disclosure made it.
Yeah, yeah. But,
anyways, off track. This is a fantastic album. This is great. I had no idea who they were. I saw that Halos, their name, and I go, okay. I see this album cover. This is either going to be amazing or dog shit. I'm like, please be amazing. Put it in my ears, and I go, yes, please give me some more. It is, every song, it was getting better and better and better and better, which is incredible for an album of this year, because usually what's been happening is the first half is good, second half is shit.
Yeah.
The track Boy Girl is fantastic because you have one, the head vocalist, I have no idea what her name is, but it's a female vocalist who's usually the one doing most of it. It's her and then another guy going back and forth in the track. It'll be her for like a couple stanzas and then the next guy for, and then going back and forth. And I love that track. Very well, speaking of dystopian, this is very dystopian electronic music.
I don't,
it's fantastic.
I've complained a lot about duets lately because they feel too
they feel too manufactured,
kitschy.
And especially for pop, it feels like the Avengers movies where they're just all bullshit and the same. This is not that, whatsoever. For that track, it's great. Deep State, you already heard me yelling about that track. Listen to it.
I'm gonna throw out one. End of World Party.
End of World Party.
Which samples a little bit of It Takes Two to Make the Thing Go Right.
I'm gonna say that. I was trying to think of the track name. Yeah, that sample goes hard.
Yeah, like you hear that.
You hear the scratching of the record,
and like,
and I was like,
shit!
Yes, this.
And they turned it into something that, again, End of World Party captures the essence of Humans, the Gorillaz album, where it's like,
everything's without the shitty interludes.
Okay, I'm not talking about the musically, thematically. It captures the world is ending, but we want to celebrate it. Not that we want to celebrate the world ending, but because if we were to mourn the world ending, that would be a sad way to spend our last few minutes.
Yeah.
So let's party, given this morbid surrounding that's around it. And I love that kind of aesthetic and that tone and that theme. And End of World Party does that very well. It's definitely an upbeat track, but it's not an upbeat track, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's upbeat in the sense
it's
fast.
Oh, I have actually listened to them before. I definitely recognize Full Circle, 2016.
Yeah, Full Circle, their previous first album, yeah.
Okay, I've definitely listened to, I didn't realize this was them, but I've definitely listened to this album before because I'd recognize the cover. For sure.
Nice.
That makes sense. Because it is in my realm of shit I listen to. So, this is like, it's like an IPO that makes everybody money. Everybody gets rich.
So this is Salesforce.
What?
This is Salesforce.
Salesforce.
I don't even know if Salesforce has a stock yet.
Do they have an IPO?
Oh, they totally do.
Oh. When the fuck did they get an IPO?
Yeah, you can currently buy them on the New York Stock Exchange for $159.
Fuck.
No, jeez. All I know is Salesforce. I have a couple of friends who work at Salesforce. They're just like...
Dead ass?
Mm. Yeah, they're just the ballers of San Francisco. Because they'll just rent out entire districts of San Francisco for their company.
Buddies. No, I know, So Salesforce goes hard in the paint. Why don't you just sell
and
out
their and CEO, Mark Benioff, is... For a capitalist, not horrible. He said that millionaires in San Francisco should be giving significant sums of their money to deal with the housing crisis, and even, I think, substitute his own $50
million. Considering it's a cloud-based thingy, you either have Salesforce or Bezos bucks, and I'd rather go Salesforce.
Fair enough.
He's not on the chopping block yet.
Okay, really fast. This has nothing to do with music, but I need to tell you about this.
Oh.
So Delta Airlines created this app that is supposed to encourage people to not unionize. And they have these little posters. It's ridiculous.
First off, I already have major beef with Delta for numerous reasons.
But they're telling people that, hey, union dues cost $700 a year. For that price, you could buy a video game console.
I fucking hate Delta.
No. I can show you something great, though.
Oh.
Because this is great for a podcast. But someone made an updated version of the post that says, union dues cost around $700 a year. A guillotine only costs $1,200 to build.
Whoever made that, I want you to be my friend.
5 trillion woke.
Can we? Okay, if they so much as seen so much as whistle, they get the Dave Rubin rule. Or if they so much as whistle, they get to be on the
Vince Staples Look Award.
Yes, they get to be nominated for that. I'm watching every Dave Rubin clip I could possibly find for just a little snippet.
If we can find, I mean, my rule has always been, if Dave Rubin stumbles while talking in a way that matches any of the general like pop choruses that match mainstream pop, like if it happens to go like that, that's instantly noted, little bitch.
The major. Ooh, I can send tweets.
We're gonna have to analyze that very carefully. Let's move on to the music portion of this podcast. And unfortunately, it's not quite as bright as Dave Rubin's death, but it's a little interesting. So the coroner for Keith Flint, the frontman of the Prodigy,
who took
his own life early March, allegedly, that coroner cannot confirm that he died by suicide. Coroners generally do this, I believe.
Did somebody hang him?
Well, Beasley Murray, who was the coroner, Caroline Beasley Murray, said the police did not encounter anything suspicious during their investigation and that Flint acted alone, but she was still unable to certify that his death was a suicide, saying, quote, I would have found that on the balance of probabilities, Mr. Flint formed the idea and took a deliberate action knowing it would result in his death. Having regard to all the circumstances, I don't find there's enough evidence for that. So it could have been an accidental cocaine, alcohol, codeine overdose while you hang yourself? Or it could have been like maybe he was put under a really bad state with that mixture and then decided to do it. Because maybe he's...
Oh, I see what you mean. So it was like under the influence. Suicide by drugs.
Yeah, or like the drugs put like... probably pushed him over the edge further than he was going.
So he didn't do an Ian. Yeah,
usually with suicide ideation, I think, I'm just kind of speculating here, the coroner would expect to find one of those other drugs, the cocaine, the codeine, mm-hmm. the alcohol, in some high dose to signify that the person was intending to like really go hard in this moment. So maybe that's different. I don't think foul play has been done here still. And
That's why you have Surgeon General warnings of certain drugs. Like, suicidal thoughts may happen.
Yeah. I haven't seen a Surgeon General warning on the bottle of alcohol, but it is a depressant, though, is that. The Prodigy did issue a message to fans in the wake of this saying, do not suffer in silence. So they're aware about all this happening.
Could make it a joke, but I'm not going to make a joke.
There's really not a joke to be made here. Let's make some jokes, though, because that's about Offset.
No, because I got in a happy mood because I saw this headline.
Oh, Lord. So there's a drive-by shooting in Atlanta.
And Offset may have been present during a drive-by shooting in Atlanta studio, which I'm down.
Do you want me to give you the punchline of the story?
Dun, 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 dun.
So the cops want to interview Offset potentially because, you know, he was there, he was a witness, but there was a warrant out for his arrest because it broke a 14-year-old's iPhone 7. Remember?
Oh, shit. So does he get the most deaf treatment where most deaf is like, I can't get in anymore, so I'm just going to stay here?
No, I mean, like, he's in America still. This was one time where, like, yo, hi, police, we'd actually like to help make sure you don't get shot. Wait a minute. Cephas.
Kiari Cephas.
Kiari Kendall Cephas. What's going on? No.
And you broke that bitch's iPhone, so come out here.
Yeah. Because a felony arrest warrant is out for
Thank
Offset
you
in the currently right
for
now.
Not snitching.
Yeah, so that's a little iffy. And it's also weird because Young Thug very recently was the victim of an attempted drive-by shooting while he was at a club in Miami.
We're bringing it back, boys. It's been a minute.
No, I feel like, I mean...
We've gone for a full circle.
No, this time last year we were at peak rap beef because remember Pusha T's album came out in late May and we found out Drake had a kid. But
I still got to see Drake's kid.
Jesus Christ.
I need to delete this.
I would incognito that. But
here's the alleged mother of Drake's secret baby.
The story of Adidon. So let's talk about the other wildcard album of this week, shall we?
Yes.
This is by Holly Herndon, and it's an album called Proto.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
This is okay, well, first
eclectic
off.
As fuck. It's 13 songs long and about an hour? No, less than an hour.
No,
for sure.
44 minutes.
44 minutes.
It's, yeah, eclectic is an understatement. This feels this feels like cheap M83 to me. I don't know. I didn't like it. It felt like cheap M83. You had a track where it had like a little girl speaking over it or something like that, which M83's been doing since the dawn of his music, and I do like it. But then the tracks that were made were just, they felt very boring. They felt bland. Over electronic, where it's like, okay, the infamous Amadeus quote of too many notes.
Right.
Because to me, it's just after a while, I'm like, there's just too many sounds in one thing where it starts to fuzzle and fizzle out.
Yeah.
And especially like the Alienation, I felt that heavy for that track. And then the rest of the album, it's kind of going back and forth between different subjects and stuff too. But the overall consensus for me is that it's too much.
Because this is so experimental, it's within the realm of dance and electronic, but definitely not EDM still.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs are like very empty and mostly just playing with sounds and then like and loud then drum beats in the middle.
And then also the vocals were like very choppy too. They would like would purposefully do it where it would like cut out in the word or do this and that, which I go, okay, it's cool for a track or two.
Yeah.
But don't do it continuously over and over again, because then it just gives me a headache. I think they just had a lot of great ideas, or she had a lot of great ideas.
Yeah.
And it just, cut out a little bit of it. Which, I mean, I've had that complaint before with some artists too. But I can at least appreciate, hey, you were trying something different, you're trying something new, or do something, but it didn't work out,
yeah,
unfortunately.
This is...
I didn't hate it.
So I went on Wikipedia and I learned a lot of things that make a lot of sense. So Holly Herndon is
everybody's favorite Wikipedia.
A doctoral student at Stanford University currently, right now,
studying
musical composition. And so this is some very like high level experimentation with dance and electronic music going on. That's like, unfortunately, I think to kind of go to your point, a little too high level for contemporary music. To be fair, this is a wild card. We kind of like picked it randomly.
Yeah, exactly,
what happens.
Exactly.
And so like, we're not trying to make any further statement on that, because it's not trying to be this. We just happened to catch Holly Herndon when she was releasing an album at the same time we needed albums to review. But I think I actually liked Swim in it. I think it's the best mix of what Holly's going for in the most palatable way, I guess, to approach it. Yeah, like I said, it's very... I don't mean to insult Holly Herndon at all, but I'm going to quote my music instructor from freshman year at Berkeley, who was talking about the Berkeley music program and making a point about how you study music so often and it leads to a certain result. He said, at the Berkeley Music School, music is meant to be seen and not heard. The idea being that these are people who are really smart with composition and music theory, but the end result of that music is not necessarily like a pop ballad or something you dance to or really enjoy or come back to. But if you're studying music, you can kind of read it for the sense of you're reading a PhD level dissertation, and it's very interesting.
I see what you mean. Yeah, I can partially agree with that. I mean, again, it's just experimental, because she, especially if you're working on it as well, it's something I can appreciate. And maybe if you had, I wouldn't say more time, but something to develop it a little bit more and kind of try to specify on what exactly sound you're trying to do,
or like,
it would be a little bit better.
Or like, even if you want to, I mean, better is very subjective.
Yeah,
what
exactly
are you trying to achieve?
Yeah.
If we're trying to achieve, let's say, to me, this album would be improved by kind of like what you're saying. Figure out exactly what you're going for and narrow your focus a little bit on that.
Yeah, that's what I was
trying
to say.
Yeah, I don't want to say take from contemporary music or borrow from contemporary music in some way, because that's telling you how to do your thing.
Yeah.
But,
and it's also boring, so.
Yeah, but I mean, if you mix all the high level, I probably can't even understand ideas and music theory that she's playing with in Proto,
mm-hmm.
and mixed it with something contemporary in music to make it more palatable, and did that in the right way, well, some of the best fucking artists and musicians are doing that right now.
Exactly. What we're saying is, this shit is too smart for our puny brains.
Basically.
Literally, our brains are too puny and small to enjoy this as we should.
Yeah. Holly Herndon's album on the stock market is like a derivative multi-indexed mutual fund.
Holy Jesus Christ. No. It's when you're making a CD, when you're making a credit default swap.
No, I don't want to make a credit default swap because that's going to imply that this is going to destroy all of music. I'm just saying this is just a complicated musical instrument that only people who go out to Omaha, Nebraska when Warren Buffett speaks like it's Coachella are the kind of people who understand what it means.
Okay. Yeah. I can agree with that.
I wonder how many STDs they caught in Omaha.
Whoa. Omaha's actually pretty nice. I like it there.
No, Omaha's a nice place. It's just literally the only reason people go, or like a lot of reason, financial people go there is to see Warren Buffett.
It's to see Warren Buffett, fucking old ass white man.
Anyways, Justin Bieber compared Chris Brown to Tupac and Michael Jackson, and not in the smart way. He said that Chris Brown is not understood right now, and he made an Instagram post that had a picture of Michael Jackson, the plus symbol, a picture of Tupac, the equal symbol, and then a picture of Chris Brown. Can Justin Bieber just be shot in the street or something? I'm fine.
He's also a Maple Leafs fan, so fuck off.
I mean...
That already docks you off points of being smart at all.
Sorry, Justin Bieber. I slightly take back what I said. Slightly. Oh, no. Just stay retired from music.
Please.
Forcibly. I don't want this to be your choice, but stay out of music.
I want your big-ass buff bodyguards to, step in front of you whenever you try to go back into music studio. Like, nah, dog, this ain't happening.
I want his big-ass buff bodyguards to step away from him every time there's near a tour bus in Miami. Anyways.
The only cool thing you said is that The Weeknd was whack. That's the only cool thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah, but...
That's it.
This is something that we talked about churches last week, doing the right thing for calling out Chris Brown for being an abuser and not glorifying an abuser. And to throw, this is the direct opposite of that. Because you're glorifying, Chris Brown by putting him in the world of Tupac, again, his musical glory, not otherwise. And then Michael Jackson, again, his musical glory and not otherwise. In which case, maybe it is the perfect fit, but I don't know. Why do we even want Justin Bieber's opinion on this? No one does. But you know what we do want is Audio Face to end on a fun note.
This literally made me laugh. So EDM is traumatic for fish swimming.
So
for fishes swimming.
Yes. So Ultra Music Festival in Miami, like one of the big music festivals, yes. EDM Music Festival specifically, is moving out of Miami this year, actually, the same reason music festivals leave cities is that it's not a good fit, and the cities usually fucking hate them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of STD problems and stuff.
There are noise complaints, there are sound complaints, there are traffic complaints. You know, everyone fucking hates these. No one loves it. But one of the complaints apparently was coming from our fishy friends, because the University of Miami Ross and Steele School took blood cortisol levels of the toadfish in the Virginia Key, where Ultra takes place, and found that loud EDM music caused a 4 to 5-fold increase in their stress levels.
Holy shit. So they hate it as much as I do.
Pretty much.
Deadass.
No wonder. I always thought that me being sort of stressed with certain kinds of electronic music was just trauma from college. But it's also...
No, yeah. It's a thing. And that's why I don't like EDM for the most part.
Yeah. I can understand...
Is when we went to Hard Summer, it's the same thing where I go, okay, this is interesting, and then
yeah,
there was some stuff I liked a lot, and there was some stuff I go, oh,
some stuff is anxiety inducing.
Exactly, and then that one time I put on the glasses, I'm like, I might actually, my brain might implode right now.
Yeah, so imagine doing drugs.
Yeah, I'm good.
I think this is a win all around. That no more shall we have to. Should the fish have to deal with the scourge of Ultra Music Festival? Although it's probably moving somewhere slightly around Miami, so...
So, more sorry, the other fishies have to deal with it.
They'll be like, hey, bitch!
And then the fish is going to yell, and then they're going to have a fishy community, and the fishies are going to uprise and take over the Earth, which I'm down, because there's climate change is going to make the sea rises low, because Al Gore said so in, 2000. And then there's going to be fishies just all over Miami, and they're going to fucking make their own music.
They're going to rebel, they're going to meet a little fishy YMCA, have some DSA chapter meetings, and then fucking take over once the sea levels rise.
Dude, I want a little communist fish that has, a Chinese hat You know those little, or like a Russian hat. Yeah. That is in my head right now. I'm imagining a fish with a hat and an AK-47.
There are some.
Did Dan just look up communist fish on his Google?
I'm looking at some red and black, like, colored fish for communism, so we're working
on it. I'm down.
This has been Audio Face. I'll do it again. Next week, we may or may not have Carly Rae Jepsen, depending on how much you want to piss off Sean. We have The National, we have Rammstein, we have
Definitely
Interpol.
Definitely doing those.
Okay. Tyler, the Creator, we may float some of that to the next week where we'll have Flying Lotus. Also, programming note. Next episode of Audio Face is going to premiere on Tuesday because of my schedule.
Yes.
It'll be a day late and hopefully not a dollar short, but it will still be there. Thank you very much for listening. I'm going to do the plugs really fast because I'll do it really quickly. Thank you for listening to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. Audio Face can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez, if he trusts you. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And making fun of Ben Shapiro getting cucked by the BBC on YouTube. Thank you very much for listening and watching. Also, our website's audioface.show if you want to just find everything we do. And we'll talk to you next week and one day. Cheers. Bye.